poet Sylvia Plath was only 30 when she killed herself in 1963. Despite the brevity of her life, her literary fame has continued to grow. So too has interest in her personal life, especially her marriage to British poet Ted Hughes. This week, the British Library brought out a new CD that features little heard recordings of Plath. It includes a poet giving readings of some of her work, as well as radio interviews with the BBC. In one of those interviews, Plath talks about how eccentric the English are, and she describes her first visit to an English home.
I went in, and I remember the mother was doing needlepoint, and I thought this was a charming English thing, and I went over, and she was doing a needlepoint of penicillium mold, and I saw that on the footstools, instead of cozy roses or something of that sort, she had done needlepoint of rattlesnakes' backs. And I remember particularly when I was going to bed at night, she very seriously offered me my choice of a hot water bottle or a cat. She didn't have enough hot water bottles to go around or enough cats, but if she used both of them, they came out even. And I chose the cat.
Sylvia Plath in the early 1960s. Karen Kukiel curates the Plath Collection at Smith College in Northampton, Massachusetts. Karen, when you hear a newly released recording like the one we just played, what is your first reaction?
Well, it reinforces what I've always thought about Plath, that she was very funny, and if she had lived past the age of 30, I think she would have gone on to write comedy. She really has a very engaging manner about her.
She sounds a lot like a young Julia Child. Is that the Smith College accent?
Well, she has a wonderful combination of sort of British and Boston Brahmin. Sometimes it's a little off-putting to students, but they get used to it.
Let's hear one more clip. This is from 1961, Sylvia Plath and her husband Ted Hughes talking about how they had met and decided to marry.
We kept writing poems to each other, and then it just grew out of that, I guess, the feeling that we both were writing so much and having such a fine time doing it, we decided that this should keep on.
The poems haven't really survived. The marriage overtook the poems.
So, Karen, you actually teach a course at Smith in which you have students edit variant drafts of Plath's poems from the archives there. What do you see as the value for readers and scholars of Plath of having access to these kind of archive recordings and manuscripts?
Well, I always play recordings of Plath for my students, and I think you learn a lot about a person through the quality of their voice. Most people think of Plath as a sort of a victim or suicidal and that sort of thing. But when you hear her recordings, she is very much in control of her life, and you get a sense that she's very ambitious, she knows what she's doing, and I think it just helps them see that she was an incredibly dedicated poet. The one thing that is kind of interesting about the various collections of Plath and Hughes's work is that Plath often writes on the backside of Hughes's discarded manuscripts, and he does the same with hers. So it's kind of fun to have a recording of them in the same room together speaking, because they actually sort of physically do that in their poetry.
What do you think is up with the fascination with Sylvia Plath's personal life and her relationship with Ted Hughes? Is there too much focus on the backstory and not enough on her poetry?
Well, I think it's really fine if you focus on the life and it leads you to the poetry, because they both were unbelievably gifted poets. In Plath's case, she did write a lot about her life, so sometimes it does help you to understand her poetry if you know a little bit about her background.
Karen Kukiel edited Sylvia Plath's Unabridged Journals. She's Associate Curator of Special Collections at Smith College. Karen, thank you very much.
You're welcome.